Hey there, everybody, and welcome to episode number 23 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast. I'm Billy, and with me as always, and we are going to be talking about new comics coming out this coming Wednesday, which is June 11th, 2014, and we're going to talk about some books that we read this past week and, you know, give you some recommendations on what you should pick up in the shop, whether it's new comics coming out this week or, you know, a couple of recommendations from weeks past that you might have missed. So let's start right away with new comics coming out this week. Let's see. There was some... Oh, new issue of Justice League Canada is coming out. That means I'm heading to my comic book store because I'm buying every one of those Justice League Canada issues.
And that's really good. That's we've been talking about Jeff Lemire and Mike McCone doing this book together, and it's great.
Yeah.
They've got the new kind of emo-looking Lobo on here.
Yeah, I can't decide what I think about him yet. He's on one hand, you know, they're making him almost like a Wolverine kind of like badass, but I really like my classic Lobo, you know, the 80s metalhead Lobo.
Yeah, I enjoyed that Lobo as well too, because he was always a parody, like he was a joke of, you know, like the badasses of, you know, all comics, and you know, I think it started with Wolverine, but you know, in general, it just went for everything, and you know, it's a straight take on Lobo. It kind of it doesn't. I don't know if that works because that's not the spirit of the character, you know. Like if they were making fun of like how he dressed and stuff like that, that would be funny. But no, they're like, no, this guy's seriously a badass, and he's kind of like weird, goth, sexy.
Yeah, I don't need Edward Cullen Lobo. You know, I don't need James Dean Lobo. I want full of himself and completely ridiculous Lobo.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want him calling people bastitches.
Right. A fragging bastitches.
Now, there's also another variant to this that has Stargirl on it in the DC Bombshell trade dress. And I didn't realize that these Bombshell covers are actually not inflated in price. It's the standard cover price if you go to the store to buy one. I wish the Mike Allred comics were like this, because I would have probably picked up all the Mike Allred variants if they were cover price and not like $20.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think I'm gonna buy any of the Bombshell covers, but I mean, they're cool. I mean, the Hawkgirl one was cool last week, but I mean, they're not worth I don't know, hunting it down for me.
So not a necessary part of your Starman collection, huh?
Right. And another interesting book coming out this week is Infinity Man and the Forever People, number one, written by Dan DiDio and Keith Giffen. And all the art is being done by Keith Giffen in his ultra-loose Kirby style.
Yeah, and this is the same team that did OMAC, which was another Kirby book when the New 52 first launched.
Right, and if anybody is looking to see what the New Gods are and how they play a part in the big multiverse, apparently this is the book to read. And Dan DiDio and Keith Giffen are looking to explain a bit of the multiverse and how people like Pandora, the New Gods, and which they're calling singularities, because there's only one of them in the whole universe, is how they exist within the fabric of the DC universe. And, I mean, OMAC was a fun romp, so, I mean, I think this should be too. And with that on top of that, I'm definitely going to give this a try.
Yeah, I'm wondering about this. Actually, I heard good things about the OMAC comic. I never picked up any issues, but people I know who read it seem to have liked it.
Yeah, they were
this
really...
book looks like it could be... This book looks like it could be cool.
Yeah, definitely. Another book that's coming out this week is Birds of Prey, number 32, and I spent this past week catching up on Birds of Prey. This is written by Christy Marks, and she took the book over.
So it's Gail
Simone.
Is Gail Simone doesn't write this book?
No, she hasn't written this at all in the New 52. She writes Batgirl.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Dwayne's...
And Batgirl's in Birds of Prey, right?
Right, she is. It's Batgirl, Black Canary,
mm-hmm.
Strix, which is a Talon, who like a defected Talon who's a mute. She's kind of filling...
Strix?
Yeah.
Which is a terrible name.
it's a kind of owl, if you wanted to know what Strix is.
Okay.
So a great name for a Talon and a bird of prey.
I'm still going to go with... that's true. I'm still going to go with a terrible name.
And then there's a male member named Condor, and he's got flight, some like mechanical wings, and he's also got some like telekinesis powers. And he's a Native American. I really think he is the Black Condor of the New 52.
That's what I was about to ask. Okay. Well, his name's Condor, and he's Native American.
Yeah, it's really like, hey.
Which
two out of the three?
All they did was take Black off his name.
Yeah, I wonder if they were like, well, Jimmy Palmiotti is doing all the Freedom Fighters characters again unsuccessfully, so you can't. And that was really mean.
Oh, was Black Condor a Freedom Fighters character?
The Freedom Fighter characters were all the quality comic characters that DC bought. So that's Uncle Sam, the Ray, Phantom Lady, Black Condor, Dollman, Firebrand, and a couple other, like, you know, who would jump in there, like Plastic Man and the Human Bomb and a couple others. So,
okay.
Prior to the New 52, about two out of the three Black Condors were Native American and had some type of flight and some type of telekinesis powers. So I kind of think they were like, well, let's not call him Black Condor. We already got a Black Canary. Let's just call him Condor. So
now, jumping over to a different company, I see that All New Invaders is tying in with Original Sin this week.
Yes.
For this issue.
And
this should be interesting. Captain America has a secret, or as Original Sin marketing says, everybody has a secret.
Yes, and
you
just
started reading Original Sin, right?
Yes, this is part of the reason why I'm like, oh, I gotta catch up with Original Sin before week's All New Invaders.
Now there are three issues of Original Sin out so far. In the third issue, the "everybody has one," meaning a secret, line makes more sense. If you do catch up, I definitely recommend reading the first three issues before you read this All New Invaders comic.
Yeah, that was my plan. I'm planning to do that. Also, I caught up on the Fantastic Four from James Robinson, and that is tying into All New Invaders 2. I mean, I think you could probably guess how.
Right, the Human Torch, I'm guessing.
Right. And he's
yeah, they're going to be like, no, not at all, Billy.
wrong, Billy. You didn't guess this. No, it's definitely the Human Torch. And James Robinson is definitely carving out a place for Jim Hammond in the Marvel Universe, and it's really cool. I can't wait till you start reading them on the Marvel app.
Yeah, I really do have to do that, because I have not, and it looks like a cool series. Now, what's your take on Fantastic Four? Do you think that James Robinson knew in advance that Marvel was planning on, like, you know, just burying this book? Like, is he setting it up to be canceled, do you think? Like, is it going to play out naturally?
Well,
or do you think he was just screwed again by a big comic book company?
After we recorded last week, I sent you that image, right, of the opening spread of the first issue of the Fantastic Four called The Fall of the Fantastic Four. I mean, I think that with the Watcher going away, who is a Fantastic Four character, maybe maybe he knew from the beginning. Maybe this is all part of Marvel's plan to, you know, keep the Fantastic Four in the Marvel Universe, but not have the ongoing book and have it kind of be seamlessly written into the story of the Marvel Universe. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and Tom Brevoort made a good comment recently talking about the potential cancellation of the Fantastic Four. He claims there's no plans to cancel it right now.
Okay.
But he said, you know, we've gone in the past a couple of years without a Thor comic. And I do remember when the first Thor series came to an end, people were shocked that, you know, there would be no Thor comic. And that's when Heroes Reborn was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thor came back during Heroes Return. But there was a good, you know, year and a half where there was no Thor comic at all. And I didn't bat an eyelash.
Yeah, and was that when, did Straczynski bring him back? Is that when he...
No, Dan Juergens actually brought him back. It was Dan Juergens and John Romita Jr. But once again, Thor was canceled, and once again, he was brought back, and that time it was by JMS.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and these comics, you know, some series go away for a little while, and then they come back. It's not like Marvel never published Fantastic Four again.
Yeah, and I think a lot of
people
times
love the thing just too much.
It's waiting for the right take on it. You know, like if James Robinson's take doesn't take off, or if, you know, whoever's doesn't take off, like, you know, maybe put it to bed for a little bit, and then somebody comes along with the right pitch, and bam, you got a top seller again.
Yeah, that's true. I enjoyed Mike Allred and Matt Fraction on the book. Or, well, you know, Mark Bagley was on Fantastic Four, and Matt Fraction was on FF. Mike Allred was on FF. Matt Fraction wrote both of them. I thought that was a cool run on the title. Unfortunately,
yeah, that,
you know, it came to an end.
That was great run.
You seem to be enjoying the current run by James Robinson, right?
Yeah, a lot. I think it's really great. It ties a lot back into all that stuff. So, like, if you've been reading the Fantastic Four or the FF for the past, you know, years, you know, all the stuff that, you know, Matt Fraction and Jonathan Hickman have been doing, it's picked right up on. So, you know, it's a great read. You know, it's a new direction, but he definitely doesn't push away any of that stuff.
That's cool. And one book that I think people might overlook, because they may have even had the first issue come and go without realizing it came out, was United States of Murder, Inc. number 2, which is a new creator-owned series by Michael Avon Oeming and Brian Michael Bendis. The first issue was great. I just picked this up on a whim in the store when it came out, and I'm glad I did. It's like alternate history where the mob has taken control of New York City, or basically the whole Northeast. And it's kind of like Wanted, but, you know, there are no superpowers. It's just a straight crime story. But it seems like the main character is a guy who is born into this mob family, and then seems like he might be taking them down from the inside.
Wow, that does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, the first issue was great. It had a great final page surprise. So I'm definitely looking forward to the second issue of this, which comes out this week. And has a great cover by Michael Oeming. Now, jumping over to Image for a second, I don't know anything about this book. The title just jumped out at me. It's called That's Because You're a Robot. It's by David Quantick and Shaky Kane. The description is two cops. One's a robot, only they don't know which. BAFTA winner and writer of HBO's award-winning Veep, David Quantick teams up with a bulletproof cop and Shaky Kane on this migraine-inducing pop art cop buddy one-shot set in the near future Los Angeles. Warning, contains oversized patrol cars and perilous situations. I will be spending my $4 on this book. This sounds terrific.
It does, and the art looks great. Definitely has that pop art feel.
Yeah, and I think it's just going to be really, really funny. Like this might end up being my pick of the week next week. So let's see. And then, of course, we got a new issue of The Walking Dead, Walking Dead 128, and also coming out this week, if you missed the previous issue, Walking Dead 127 has a second print with a new variant cover. Yeah, that issue, that Walking Dead 127 introduces a lot of new characters. I definitely recommend picking that one up. And this Walking Dead just continues to be one of my favorite comic books.
Yeah, I mean, it's always amazing whenever I read a trade.
So how caught up are you on it now?
I'm the same as we were the last time that we talked. I have not read past like volume 18, I think. So I'm like two trades behind. Yeah, okay. I think they just put out a trade. So like,
I think volume 20 is out now. And that was the start of All Out War. Yeah, I think volume 20 is the first six issues of All Out War.
Oh, maybe it's 20. I'll have to take a look and see.
Right. Now, speaking of trades, I just ordered from Amazon Miracle Man Volume 1, A Dream of Flying. It's $30 at the store. It's $15 on Amazon right now.
That's a good deal, especially if you have Prime.
Yeah, and especially going by the cover prices of the Marvel reprints, like that's, what, like 2.5 times the price of single issues?
Yeah, it's, you know, they were like at least $5 an issue, right?
Yeah, they're like $5 or $6 an issue, way too much. Yeah. But for $15, I think this includes the first 5 issues. I saw it in the store. It looked pretty thick, you know, not super thick, but pretty thick.
Yeah.
So I think it might include the first 5 issues. And I'm looking forward to reading it. I never read Miracle Man.
Neither have I. I'm looking forward to reading it too once they have like a Miracle Man sale or something like that on Comixology. I'll jump right in there.
Well, I read on Bleeding Cool that Marvel actually changed a page for the digital version. They like cleaned it up and censored it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was something about, I think, a character giving birth. I could be wrong. But they ended up polybagging the physical comic, and then on the digital version, edited it. Like, they, you know, either, like, re-inked it so that you see something different. I haven't seen, a side-by-side comparison of the two, but they definitely changed the digital version.
That's really interesting. I mean, considering that, like, it's probably a thing that they ran by Apple.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. But Marvel has put out a really cool trailer for Miracle Man, which is basically just Neil Gaiman, who took over for the book after Alan Moore left, talking about how he was really excited to write the comic, and it was one of the, you know, his earliest writing jobs, and he still considers it one of his best works from that period. And they got through 2 issues, I think, published, and but they Miracle Man 25 has never seen print, and it's been completed for over 2 decades.
Wow.
But it has never seen the light of day, so he's really excited because now once Alan Moore's run gets reprinted, he's assuming that his run is going to be reprinted as well, and that this never-before-seen issue of Miracle Man number 25 is going to actually see the light of day.
That's got to be pretty amazing or pretty fulfilling. Maybe not amazing, because amazing takes away all the negative crap that probably went on for the past, 20, 30 years, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it is amazing if you read up on all the negative crap and all, like, the various lawsuits and dueling claims of rights that have been going on for decades over this comic. It is pretty amazing that these issues are seeing the light of day again, because I honestly thought they'd never be reprinted, because it was like a legal miasma that I didn't think we'd ever make our way through.
Huh. Yeah, Miracle Man and I think Watchmen, Mark Waid, I read this, I think maybe it was on Bleeding Cool or on CBR, but Mark Waid was talking about how a lot of the ideas in it are like yanked from this book that some guy had written.
A lot of the ideas in Miracle Man are yanked from a book some guy had written?
Yeah. So, turns out that Mark Waid did not say that. It was, he might have, but it was Grant Morrison talking about how a lot of the ideas in
Miracle Man
and in the last story of Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow,
Okay.
Was ripped off from a book called Super Folks. And it was written by Robert Mayer. And Grant Morrison actually does the foreword to this book. And I ripped off is a strong word. I definitely inspired Watchmen, Miracle Man, and Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow. And Grant Morrison kind of pointed out, I think it was, you know, probably one of those times when Alan Moore was, you know, saying stuff about how, like, nobody has original ideas except for him in the comic book industry. And I think Grant Morrison was like, well, you did kind of rip this guy off. And I think Super Folks, I think, is like a parody novel. It's a prose novel.
Okay.
But a lot of the ideas in Miracle Man and Whatever Happened to Man of Tomorrow and some of, like, the references are almost the same. So, like, I've never read it, but it's definitely on my books to read because I'd like to make that, you know, make up my mind for myself, like, not what, you know, Grant Morrison said or what Mark Waid said or, you know, what Alan Moore said, but say, oh, I wonder how much did he use of this guy's idea, because I don't think the book was very popular.
Yeah, and they actually do sell it on Amazon. They even have it available for the Kindle. I'm interested in reading that myself, only because, like, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow and Miracle Man are held up as, like, such pinnacles of superhero comic books. To find out that it was, Alan Moore just borrowed a bunch of stuff from somebody else's writing, it's kind of a big letdown.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how much is borrowed and how much is, like, you know, he made some, like, nods to this, and then Alan Moore's like, that's a great kernel of an idea, and I'm going to explore that. But, I mean, I think, as I've heard, like, Alan Moore rip into, like, Geoff Johns' Blackest Night, but, like, I think that's what Geoff Johns did with Blackest Night. He took this idea that Alan Moore had a kernel of, which he made, like, a little bit bigger of a kernel than, Gil Kane did. And then, you know, Geoff Johns made it an epic event, and I don't think it was like a letdown at all, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. When Blackest Night came out, and then after that, whenever Geoff Johns and Blackest Night come up in conversation, you'll get, like, Alan Moore fanboys who will be like, oh, Geoff Johns got no talent. He stole Blackest Night from Alan Moore. And I read that Alan Moore issue that kind of was the kernel of the idea that, you know, turned into Blackest Night. And yeah, I don't think the people who claim Geoff Johns ripped off Alan Moore actually read that Alan Moore issue.
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of like one of those things where, like, people don't touch things that Alan Moore did because they're scared. And I think, you know, Geoff Johns isn't scared to do that. You know, like, the same thing, like, Ed Brubaker wasn't afraid to bring back Bucky. You know, he said, oh, right, well, I'm not allowed
Scott
to do that.
Wasn't afraid to do Swamp Thing.
Right. Well, I think the Swamp Thing's a little bit different because everybody has done Swamp Thing and has kind of failed a little bit after Alan Moore. You know, I mean, I guess
that
he did.
That is true.
He did have a mediocre run after Alan Moore, but, like, a bunch of them. But, like, you know, Brian K. Vaughan tried something. They relaunched Swamp Thing, like, you know, every, like, 5 years, and nothing took until Scott Snyder.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I remember reading Brian K. Vaughan's Swamp Thing when it first launched, and this is, I think, before I even knew who Brian K. Vaughan was. And, yeah, I did not enjoy it. I only lasted a couple of issues and then, you know, faded from buying it.
Yeah, I know they just recently did a collection of that again because Swamp Thing's popular, and so is Brian K. Vaughan, and, you know, I think it might be a letdown for some people.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad that you are reading Original Sin because I'm enjoying it a lot. What stinks, though, is that I wanted to talk about, like, the big reveals from the third issue that just came out get your take on it. I definitely can't because, like, some of them are really huge. It would totally ruin, like, the next two issues of the series.
Son of a bitch. I'm sorry. And as I just said, I won't be here next week because of our big move. So Nick Doyle will be filling in.
Hopefully, yeah. I actually haven't talked to Nick about that yet,
Yes,
but
that's
yeah,
true.
hopefully guest host Nick. Hopefully, guest host Nick will be back on the podcast. Yeah, and this next week's pretty big because this coming weekend. Yeah, this coming weekend is special edition NYC. So if you're in the New York City area, I definitely recommend going to this comic book convention. It's run by the same people who run New York Comic Con. It's going to take place in the same place at the Javits Center, but it's only Saturday and Sunday. It's only 2 days, and it's going to be completely comic book focused. No video games, no movies unrelated to comic books. Marvel and DC will both be there. A lot of creators are going to be there. They just seem to be adding new creators like every week. And we got some really cool guys coming, like Joe Prado, Mike Allred, Darren Cook are all supposed to be there. So I'm psyched for this. Tuesday Night Movies and the Tuesday Night Comics podcast will both be there because we have our press passes. Dave, unfortunately, won't be there.
Well, I will fortunately be moving into a new house. Yay!
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not hating on you moving into a new house. But you are going to miss out on all the fun. Not saying that moving isn't fun. Moving is not fun.
No, it is not fun. I'll be glad once we are in the new house.
The best move would have been hire movers and then travel to New York to go to a comic book convention.
Yeah, I don't even know if that would work. I would probably be stressed out thinking about the move, you know, at the Comic Con, being like, I wonder how things are going. I wonder how things are going. Oh, hey, there's a Starman comic.
Yeah,
I wonder how things are going.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I wonder how things are going. Ooh, look, Tony Harris original art.
Yeah.
and then never worry about it until you hit, like, exit 7 on the turnpike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we should both read the Super Folks book, and, you know, not for next week or even the week after, but we should both put that on our reading list.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm really interested in seeing how this compares.
Yeah.
So did you see X-Men 3 this weekend?
I did not. I was so hoping to, but, you know.
I should have had your dad on the podcast. I heard he was going to go see it.
Well, we were going to, but then Marianne and my younger sister's engagement party got in the way of things.
Wow. How late did this engagement party get? Or how early did it start? I don't know what time
it was. It started at 5. I left before, like, everybody else left. I think I got home at, like, 11:30. I think my dad came in at, like, 1.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite the party.
Yeah. Well, you know.
All right.
We know how to party.
You gotta see this movie, man. It's pretty good.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I don't know when I'm gonna get a chance to, because next couple weekends are gonna be like moving and then picking up the furniture we bought and all that kind of fun stuff, you know.
I see. All right.
So.
All right. Well.
I guess
that brings us to the end of the podcast. Because you've got a move to prepare for.
I do. I've got to pack some art supplies and some clothes yet. So till 2 weeks, guys. I'll hopefully Nick Doyle will be a good replacement for my shoes.
Yeah, but you don't hope that he's too good. What if he replaces you, Dave?
I know in the general area where he lives. Yeah. North Carolina.
No one can refuse. You got half of it right. He is in one of the Carolinas, but not the northern.
West Carolina. That's it.
Yes, that's it. West Carolina.
I should have said East Carolina. That's AKA the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, East Carolina. That's where ECU is.
Oh,
East Carolina University. It has to be in East Carolina, right?
All right.
Well, all right, everybody. If you come to Special Edition NYC this weekend and you see me, be sure to say hi. And just because I want to know if people are listening to this podcast. But so I will be at Special Edition NYC. I'll be taking a lot of photos. We're going to have some cool articles about it on TuesdayNightMovies.com. And we look forward to podcasting next week. It'll be me and Nick Doyle, or maybe it'll be even like a post-special edition NYC wrap-up. We have some other people coming with us. to Special Edition NYC. Maybe I'll get them on the podcast.
Oh, that sounds cool. All right, guys.
Yeah. The rest of the Tuesday night movies writers and photographers are going to be there, so it should be a good time. All right, guys, have a great week. Dave, good talking to you, and I'll see you around.
All right, sounds good.